Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support. Welcome back. Welcome to the show. And look at him there with an MBA with the screens and everything there. You gotta love it. Ira Winderman. Of course, from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. And since I didn't have a chance to test my microphone, am I okay here, Big O?
Yeah, you sound good. You sound good, actually.
Oh, perfect.
Look good. Perfect. You got the whole heat thing in the background. I like it. You got the PTI faces back there. Is that a psych?
You told me to come ready, so I wanted to come ready. You said either bring it strong or don't bring it at all.
You're bringing it, dude. Is that a Cycli poster back there?
That is a Ronnie Cycli head. I've got a bunch of different ones I took over the years. I don't have my Orlando Magic beat the Heat up one, but I guess as this thing goes on, I'll be like the bobbleheads in the background for others, and maybe I'll swap them out a little bit.
I like it. I like it. Good stuff. And Ira next week, by the way, will be joining us twice a week on Tuesdays and on Fridays. Wait a minute. Okay. On Tuesdays and on Fridays, he's going to be joining us, so we'll have a little fun with him and get all the insight on the Miami Heat and the NBA, and obviously it gets going next week with free agency. All right, Ira, tomorrow it'll be Inside the Paint, so give us a little sneak preview of what you and Clay are going to be talking about tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, I'm really looking forward to working with Clay. I've watched him over the years with Juan Manso on a Local 10 and what he's done there. And they, of course, do a really good job on that station on their Heat coverage. Some other stations are football only. Like you recognize in your show, it's more than a one-sport town down here. And Clay has really good, strong opinions on the Heat. What we're going to try to do is separate sort of the rumor and bring you more of the reality. So there's plenty of places out there you're going to hear the Heat's going to get this guy, the Heat's going to get that guy. What I'm going to try to do is this, is I'm going to try to say why something can be reality and why something can't. So as you know, oh, you see it, whether it's on your chat room right now or your emails, the Heat should get this guy, the Heat should get that guy. We've got to get this guy. And I'm going to try to tell people why or why not, whether it's saying that, hey, look, Kyle Lowry can only get a 3-year deal because of the NBA's over 38 rule. Or the Heat can only bring in Kyle Lowry if they're going to wind up losing some of their other free agents. Bring you sort of the calorie cap, I wish. I'm sure you do also stuff. The salary cap stuff, as far as that, like Omar does, where Omar sits down with you, you know, a couple of times a week and tells you why you're wrong. We're going to try to do that a little more. So you can go anywhere you want for Heat speculation, and I love it. It's fun, but it's also innocuous. It also can be empty calories. What we're going to try to do is tell you, hey, this is where the real sustenance comes. This is what actually can make sense. This is what can happen. And hopefully leave the listeners with enough debate points where they can chime in either by email, in the chat room somewhere, and give their thoughts based on facts and based on reality.
I love that. I love that. And you'll get a lot of the reality, obviously, with Ira and Clay every Wednesday. Remember, tomorrow we'll start at 9:30. So I'll warm up the seat for about a half hour, and then the boys will take over for an hour and then take it over. So on Wednesdays, every other day we'll start at 10 a.m., but on Wednesdays we'll start a half hour early to kind of warm things up and get it going for the boys from 10 to 11. So every day, every Wednesday, 10 to 11, you can catch Ira and Clay Ferrar from Channel 10 doing Inside the Paint exclusively right here on the Big O Radio Show. And then next week, Ira will be joining us for our Acura Pembroke Pines Miami Heat Reports. That'll be twice a week. And then obviously we got free agency next week, Ira. So
it's good. You know what? Oh, it's going to be insane because it starts Monday at 6 p.m. And honestly, by the end of the week, you know, the 6th on Friday is the first day you could sign players. But you know how this game works.
Of course.
No one waits to the end. Everything gets done early. It's all official. What will be fascinating when you and I talk, and I'm looking forward to this next Friday, that will be the first day, the opening hour that Jimmy Butler is eligible for his 4-year, $188 million extension. And I'll get more into that with Clay tomorrow and with you next week about whether the Heat can afford to do it or honestly, whether the Heat can afford not to do it. And it's something you and I will pick up on next week also is, oh, you've seen petulant Jimmy Butler. Before Jimmy came to the Heat and you were talking about him as an outsider, you saw his act with Fred Hoiberg in Chicago. You saw the Rachel Nichols interview and the practice over there in Minnesota, how it ended. And even in Philadelphia alongside Ben Simmons and sort of the antipathy there. So I think it's going to be something really important for Heat fans, and I'm writing a column about that for SunSentinel.com for tomorrow, is on one hand, can you afford to give Jimmy Butler a contract that will pay him nearly $50 million when he's 36 years old?
No.
Or can you afford not to give him that contract and lose him when he's 32, 33, and 34 years old? So it is interesting. You know, we're parents. We know what the petulant child can look like.
Yeah.
And we also know what the satisfied, eager, and contributing child can look like. Don't want to sort of compare him to a child there. But I'm saying I think that's going to be as much as who the Heat get. I think that extension will be one of the really big storylines next week as well.
All right. There's no doubt that's going to be a storyline. You and I have talked about this one before. I'm not the biggest fan of the big extension for him. How active do you expect the Heat to be? Because they are going to be able to cut a bunch of people and open up a bunch of cap space, correct?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. They can go the all-in-for-one route, which means basically you let everyone go except maybe for Bam, for Jimmy, maybe Tyler Hero. We can debate that back and forth.
Duncan
probably
too?
Bring Duncan Robinson back, okay. And that's it. Scorched earth. That gets you to $24, $25 million. You can build what Kyle Lowry wants. You can build an offer sheet for Lonzo Ball. You can bring in one more player. So, and this is something I'm going to postulate for you for weeks to come. Is there any sense that the Miami Heat are only one player away? Because I don't believe that. I don't believe that adding Kyle Lowry or Lonzo Ball, or even, I'm even going to go this far, even if it's not going to happen, a Kawhi Leonard and say they're one player away. They're not. So I think Pat Riley, Andy Ellisberg, Adam Simon, Nick Arison, the entire front office have to find a way to make it multiple players. They can do that if they do Kyle Lowry in a sign and trade and still preserve some of their other flexibility, whether it's team options for Goran Dragic, whether it's sign and trade with Kendrick Nunn. I think the Heat, if you and I are saying by the end of next week, well, the Heat added one really good player. What do you think, Ira? I was going to tell you they're going to be one and done in the playoffs again next year. The Heat have to add two names. There have to be two names that you and I, as we go through with our Acura Pembroke Pines reports through August and in September, we need to be talking about two new Heat players, whether it's Kyle Lowry and someone else, whether it's two other players. Probably has to be a power forward in there.
Yes.
And, I'm not talking about they're going to get Kyle Lowry and bring back Dwayne Dedman. It can't just be someone like that. It can't be an A-list star and a C-list, D-list kind of player also. So I'm really curious to see how Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg in the front office handle it, but it has to be more than just a plus one.
Does it seem to you like Tyler Hero got a message?
I think Tyler Hero always had the message, and I'm curious. I didn't catch your full show yesterday or the start today. I was working on some stuff. But this whole notion that Tyler Hero can also be a boy wonder and have his fun away from the court, that really bothers me.
Oh no!
And I have no, I have no issue with someone getting
Michael had more fun than anybody else. As long as you do your business, you're good.
Yes. So again, I don't care if Tyler Hero gets on the stage with Jack Harlow at Rolling Loud. I don't care if Tyler Hero, you know, is off doing his thing now, is going to become a father, has parenting to wonder. As long as he looks like a better Tyler Hero next season on the court, which he vowed to be, to put on weight, become a stronger player, that's all I need. But you know what? As much as the Heat talk about falling in love with players, that they love Tyler Hero and they love Precious and KZ, I think they would move all of them for a plus one or a plus two like you and I spoke about. And you know what? To get an asset, you have to give an asset. One asset is your cap space. Another asset is the players on your roster. So I know there's been plenty of speculation about the percentages. I don't like to do that kind of stuff of Tyler coming back or not. But he's in play through no fault of his own. He's in play because he's an asset. Just like Brian Grant and Caron Butler and Lamar Odom were in play, just like so many other Heat players have been in play, because if you can get better, you're in play. So if you're asking me right now, would I bet my life for something significant on Tyler Hero coming back? No, I would not. But I also would not do it as a criticism. of Tyler the person or of Tyler the boy wonder. I think he's a really good player. And I think he could develop into a very good player. But you need great players to win championships.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. But, I mean, we see the talent. It's just a matter of him maturing in the process. And I'm hoping that a little bit of the – maybe taking a little bit of a step back this year, hearing some of the criticism instead of all the love and the praise, maybe that kind of balances it out and says, all right, I got to get my stuff together here if I'm going to be that guy. And so I'm hoping
– and also, no offseason. Remember that. He went from the bubble season to 2 months off as a rookie to back into it. He didn't have that developmental time. He has been working at the Heat gym. Remember the awful evening and day when they had their Surfside collapse? Tyler Hero was in for a second workout by the time they rushed up to Surfside with supplies from the Heat. So he has been in the gym. I mean, when was that? You know, that was in June.
Yes.
So he has been in the gym for a while now. He's putting in the effort. That's one thing that bothers me. Don't equate being young and carefree with not being someone who cares. You can be both. You know what? You should be both. I think the people who don't have lives outside of basketball, believe me, even Kobe did it as well. I think you become so one-dimensional. I think that limits you also. You need time off in the NBA. You need time off to grow as a person. You need time off to grow as a player. You need time off to develop. Last year, Tyler Hero had 6 or 7 weeks after a grueling run to the finals. Now he has about 3 months off. I think that alone will make a difference. I would not be surprised at all to see him out with the Heat summer league team in Las Vegas, not playing in the games, but being there with the coaching staff, getting some workouts in, honing his game even more.
That would be good. That would be really good. And the summer league's going to help, obviously, KZ and Precious and those kind of guys, because they didn't have an off season either after getting drafted. So now the Heat coaches will get their hands on these guys. And we know these players all get better once the Heat coaches get their hands on them. Ira Winderman, of course, joining us. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Ira Heat Beat. Tomorrow, 10 a.m., debut of Inside the Paint. Clay Ferraro joining Ira Winderman every week for one hardcore hour of basketball. All right, Ira, I was talking about this yesterday. We watched the USA team lose against France. And one of the things, you know, the dynamics of the USA basketball have changed. Those of us that are old enough, Ira, like you and me, some younger people may not understand this, but, you know, our young guys decades ago were getting their asses handed to them by the older Euros. And then it got to the point where we said, all right, we're going to send our pros. And then that's what became the Dream Team, Redeem Team, all that stuff. So the whole jingoistic thing got behind it. And we went and we got go prove ourselves, kind of like the Cuban baseball team beating up on our young guys. Mm-hmm. And then we started sending, you know, pros and all that kind of stuff. The same thing. And so now it's gotten after years have passed since then, I think guys have kind of gotten a little bored with this whole thing. And so now we fast forward to what's happening now. I truly believe that they're not constructing a USA basketball team the right way. They're going out and getting the 13 best offensive stars that they can get, and let's bring them aboard. And that's it. Where I think you need to go get PJ Tucker. I know Butler didn't want to play this year because of the body, but you need to go get a Butler. You need to get a Draymond Green. You need to go get a couple of the role players that are willing to do the dirty work. And I know that you've got Bam there and all that, but I just feel like you need to go get guys that will be happy doing some of the dirty work, and then that allows the other half of the team, which should be offensive stars, to get in an offensive groove. And I think you would have more of a balance. I know you're going to be pissing off some guys, but go get your all-star complimentary players too in the NBA. Hell, go get Ben Simmons. I know he had to work on his game, but just to get
he's Australian. Oh, you can't get him.
That's right. You can't get him. That's right. I can't. Yeah, I mentioned Matias Thybulle yesterday, and he's also not American. But my point is, go get some defensive-minded players that don't mind bringing the lunch pail and don't give a shit about scoring.
Except, that works when you have a continuity team. When you have time to work on your roles, whether it's a PJ Tucker spending the second half of the season with the Bucks and working in. When you're trying to put a team together in 2 weeks and then go play, I still think your best players are still your best bet for this reason. They can do it individually. And my thought on the Olympic tournament is this. Remember, This is a different type of sport, only five play at a time. If you have one or two dominant players, that's all you need. We saw that from France. God bless Evan Fournier. And oh, you know this is a Heat follower.
Yeah.
When Evan Fournier is at his best, he's like the French LeBron. He doesn't have those moments. He has him against Team USA. He has him against the Heat.
Yes.
Rudy Gobert, when he's at his best, is the best defensive player in the world. So what you have to do is, I think for all these Team USA games, is saying, do you have the best players on the court? Well, Kevin Durant was in foul trouble against France. He wasn't a factor. Damian Lillard was horrible. Even he admitted him, he became unplayable for Greg Popovich. So first of all, consider all the players who aren't on Team USA right now, whether it's LeBron, whether it's Harden, whether it's so many of the elite players. They don't get those players anymore. Guys want their off seasons, especially after these compacted seasons, especially with all these COVID protocols. Then there's the notion that the NBA has fallen off because Team USA isn't dominant.
No, but no, look at the world has caught up. That's what it is.
Yes, but because the world is NBA players. Giannis Antetokounmpo is not eligible for the U.S. team. He's Greek. Nikola Jokic is not eligible for the U.S. team. He's Serbian. Joel Embiid is not eligible for the U.S. team. He's from Cameroon. So basically, the NBA has become so international, the NBA best players, like you mentioned Ben Simmons, for example, aren't even eligible. The world is catching up. If you have the best player on the court in Olympic-style games where the games are only 40 minutes, where players can foul out on their fifth foul, you can win. We saw that with Luka Doncic and the 48 points he scored in the opener. Yeah. That's the problem for the U.S. Kevin Durant needs to be great. Damian Lillard needs to be great. But your thought of putting together a cohesive team of team players that integrate and play together is great, except for one factor. Not when you're getting together 2 weeks before and just going out and playing. I mean, oh, you've been arguing for years in your show whether the NFL should have preseason games or not, whether they're worthwhile or not.
Right.
But we saw even last year, if you have a limited camp and no preseason, you need time to coalesce in team sports. I think that's the problem for Team USA. You know where Team USA would be better? If they were like Spain, if they were like the Czech Republic, if they were like Lithuania, if they were like Slovenia. If in every international competition they had a core that is trained in international basketball to know about offensive goaltending is allowed, to know you can take the ball off the rim, to know how the game is played. Instead, international basketball is almost a different sport. Might not be 3-on-3, but it's a different game. So the international players know how to win on the international court. The NBA players don't. Why? Because they're basically showing up for their vacation. I think that's why you're seeing these kind of results. Maybe what we need to do is, after the NBA draft on Thursday, is to get a core commitment from guys. Do you want to be Team USA for the next decade, for the Olympics, for the World Cup, and play through that? I think if you do that, you'd have the kind of continuity we see with Spain, with the Gasol brothers every 4 years, or the World Cup, with Lithuania, with Slovenia. I'd see a big difference. Again, are they the best players? No. Zoran Dragic was not good enough to last in the NBA, but he's a great international player. He understands that style of game. I think the NBA has to move more toward that.
One more thing that I get it, dude, that you want to play for your country and it's an honor and all that good stuff. I get all of that. I feel terrible watching Booker and Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton there, because they just finished the NBA Finals. I just feel like those men just went through an entire season, postseason, and now the Olympics. I almost feel like you need to bar the people in the finals, because you're putting them at a health risk. You know, their body fatigue leads to injuries, and that's where I just kind of – I get it. I don't want to take the honor away from them and all that good stuff. But, man, I just kind of feel like you're really risking those players. And if I'm a Bucks fan, or I'm a Milwaukee? Right. I'd be a little concerned right now watching those guys play right now.
Well, we've never had years like this. We've never had an NBA final that ends, you know, on July 22nd. So this is a little bit of an off year. And remember, the Tokyo Olympics – weather-wise, are supposed to be held in October, except NBC didn't want to go head-to-head with the NFL. So all the timing is off here. You know, so I think it's more of a case like the NHL does when they send players over to the World Championships as they get eliminated. Maybe you have a cutoff point. If you're playing in the NBA playoffs past this date, you're simply not on the team.
Yeah, man.
Means you don't get your best players. But here's the problem with that theory, Big O, and I'll give it to you, is this. If you're going to set that rule for Team USA, but other teams aren't going to play that way, let's say the Mavericks made the finals this year. Well, you know Luka Doncic
is
come
play.
Hell or high water, yeah, is representing Slovenia because he wants to. So unless you have uniform international rules, you really can't do that with that kind of arrogance. And let's face it, there is no Slovenia in the Olympics without Luka Doncic. You know, there is no France in the Olympics without Gobert and Fournier. Some of these teams, Spain with Marc Gasol, you need your NBA players. Again, it's two things sort of going head-to-head. Maybe you need to be like the NHL. And I know Gary Bettman has been very unpopular for this, is where you go, you're not going. Our league is the ultimate championship. And that's the reality, yo. The biggest basketball championship you can win in the world is an NBA championship. I've always felt about the Olympics, it should be for the other sports. The biggest track and field championship you can win is the Olympics. The biggest swimming championship you can win is the Olympics. Big O, I don't give a rat's butt about Olympic golf. I don't care that Naomi Osaka got eliminated in Olympic tennis as long as she wins the U.S. Open.
Right.
I think that's sort of the problem with the Olympics also. The Olympics should be the ultimate stage for a sport. If it's not, you're going to see what we have right now with the NBA and USA basketball in the Olympics. It's simply not the biggest thing. It was Devin Booker and Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday playing to their last breath in the NBA Finals. And then whatever they got left over, they'll bring to Team USA.
Yeah, no. And listen, I also say this because I'm pretty consistent on this. You and I have had this conversation before. Goran Dragic was never the same after he did those Euros. And he put that more wear and tear on his body. And
he actually had a good season that first year back. But you're right. As he plays on into his 30s, there is a certain toll there also.
Yeah.
Look, I speak to agents about this all the time. And NBA executives. And Mark Cuban's been on the record about this. They hate the fact that NBA players go and basically play for free and risk injury and everything so the IOC can make all this money and NBC off of them, and they'd rather have it not happen. But then all of a sudden you come off as unpatriotic.
Right.
So I think what Gary Bettman did in the NHL might not be the worst thing in the years he had to do it, is he had to say you have to make your choice. There is no bigger hockey championship than the Stanley Cup. I think the NBA might have to say the same way. You want to see the world's best on the world's biggest stage? Come watch the NBA.
Right, well, which is the truth. You know what I mean? Hey, remember, this is supposed to be for amateurs. It wasn't supposed to be for pros.
Right.
That's the way you and I grew up. All right, so tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., it starts. You got your speaker on or something? Is that what it is?
Oh, I do have my speaker on. Is there an issue there? Or?
I don't know, because is that the only way you can hear me?
I was using my speaker because I thought I wanted to get the full Big Go effect. Tomorrow morning, we'll go a little different route.
Yeah. I think you're going to need that for feedback purposes. But tomorrow morning, my man Ira Winderman, along with Clay Ferraro, the debut of Inside the Paint every Wednesday. Make sure 10 to 11. I know 99% of you won't be on live. You'll be podcasting it later. But anyway, that's where it's at. And what are you working on at the Sun Sentinel so folks can check you out, my man?
I'm working on that story that if the Heat get Kyle Lowry and get Jimmy Butler and wind up paying players in their mid-30s $70 million total going forward, is that the direction you want your team to go? Or at a certain point, you have to draw the line and say the rest of the NBA is getting younger on Thursday, the Heat have to go in that direction also.
Are you sure it's not FTX Arena or Geritol Arena? Which one do we go with? I mean,
well, I guess we're going to wait and see depending on how that Jimmy extension and Kyle Lowry's free agency goes.
Oh, wow. Ira, good stuff as always, my brother. Look forward to tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Catch you guys tomorrow. Thank you so much. Looking forward to this.
You got it. There you go. The great Ira Winderman at Ira Heat Beat. Make sure you follow him there, man. Always good stuff. How about that?